Our ongoing series, Latter-day, examines how Mormon culture is and isn't changing at a time when many long-held values are being challenged. In this installment, KUER's Lee Hale looks into how Latter-day Saint communities can be a source of harm and healing for abuse survivors.
Like many faith communities, Latter-day Saints have had to confront some painful realities about sexual abuse over the past few years, about how the structure of the church can fail victims and protect abusers. But I spoke with someone who was interested in what happens after the dust settles, how Mormon communities respond to abuse survivors as they attempt to heal. Amber Chorby-Whiteley is a Mormon therapist who recently finished her PhD at the University of Utah. Her dissertation focused on the experience of 26 Mormons who were abused before the age of 18. Whiteley says she was drawn to this research for personal reasons.
So I myself am a sexual abuse survivor. I wasn't Mormon at the time that I had been sexually abused, but I joined the church when I was 16 and was really was in a congregation that kind of helped me heal from my own sexual abuse. And so I call this Me Search. It's really based on some of my own experiences, but I also tried to go into this being really open to, okay, I've got one perspective for myself, but what broadly across other people's identities, what has been their experience with this and how has the church kind of impacted their own healing?
Something that comes up a lot is the role of the bishop. Mm-hmm. And I hear language kind of like there are a lot of good bishops out there, there's a few bad ones, almost drawing a line in the sand that
right.
bad bishops handle things poorly and good bishops handle things well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's way more complicated than that.
Totally. When I talked with my participants, they had different experiences with different bishops. And so these survivors, especially being in a place of blaming themselves, would go to the bishop sometimes to be like, I really need to repent for this. And other times to be like, I'm not sure if I should be blaming myself for this. Can you help me sort this out? And some bishops would be able to adamantly say, like, you have nothing to feel sorry for. Like this, you know, your perpetrator failed you. Let's get you the help that you need. And other bishops were moved towards this place of like, well, if you're feeling guilty, then that means that you've sinned and there's something that we should be doing to help you repent of this, basically. And so I think that right now that there is a predominant message within the church that if you are feeling like you have something to blame yourself for, go talk to your bishop. That's the first line to go to.
What are some mistakes people make in the way they teach the gospel when it comes to abuse?
Mm-hmm. I think what happens quite often is that leaders forget when they're with young men, young women, or Sunday school that there are people who are sexual abuse survivors and therefore don't fit this idea of someone who has been a virgin throughout into their marriage. And of course, some sexual abuse survivors kind of move to this place of thinking, well, I am a virgin because I didn't consent to having sex in my sexual abuse. But there are a lot of sexual abuse survivors who identify with this, I'm not a virgin, and therefore I'm impure, and therefore I haven't kept the law of chastity, and therefore my future partner doesn't want me, and really leads you down this shame spiral.
Whiteley says that several participants were taught the same object lesson, that once you begin having sexual experiences, you're like a piece of gum that has been chewed. And who wants secondhand gum? That kind of analogy can wreak havoc on an abuse survivor's sense of self-worth. But Whiteley says there were also stories of healing. One participant recounted how her mother rallied their entire congregation.
And she said that while she would continue to kind of move through this process, which all survivors do, of questioning whether she should feel ashamed or questioning whether she was responsible for this, that she constantly had reminders from her bishop, her church leaders, her young women's president, and her mom about how this wasn't her fault, and that she would specifically have scriptural lessons from her mom about how Jesus Christ cares for her and that Jesus Christ is this, you know, again, going back to this idea of like benevolent higher being, that Jesus Christ is this figure who cares about her and loves her and that she is beautiful and perfect just the way that she is.